The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 5 to 6. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And I'd like to give you a brief introduction to the second scripture. But first, I want to ask you a question. In your opinion, is the church in decline today? How many of you agree with that statement? Thank you. How many of you think that the church needs to come alive again and to grow? Thank you. So, the book of Acts is about the growth of the church in the first century. It's a time very similar to our own. The church was small, society was pluralistic with many different religious beliefs, and the Acts in the book of Acts refers to the Acts of the Holy Spirit and the Acts of the Apostles in spreading the gospel. So, buckle up. The message today is about the E word, which is evangelism. It's a word that doesn't sit easily on the lips of United Church people. We're careful to be respectful of others, not to impose our faith on them. And we tend to forget that sharing our faith can be a great gift to someone in need, as we see in today's scripture. In today's reading, it's Philip who shares faith with an Ethiopian eunuch. This eunuch may have been born that way, but much more likely he's a slave and as a boy was castrated to make him safe as a male servant in a female household. It's shocking to us, but it was common practice. He obviously has leadership capability. He's risen to be in charge of the Queen's treasury. And according to tradition, this is the man who founded the Ethiopian church. In that day and age, perhaps to a degree today, all meaning and purpose in life was wrapped up in one's offspring, in the number of children who would bear one's name. This man had been robbed not only of his manhood, but of all meaning and purpose. His name would not continue. And he's seeking. He's drawn to Judaism. He's traveled to Jerusalem, but would not have been allowed to enter the temple proper. In ancient Jewish law, a eunuch was considered incomplete and excluded from the assembly of the Lord. The man who reaches out to him is Philip. He was a disciple. He'd been with Jesus from the beginning. He's done some successful evangelism in Samaria. And in this morning's scripture, he is obedient to an angel who tells him to go at a certain hour to a certain wilderness road. Let us listen for the word of God as it comes to us through the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go at noon to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard the eunuch reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. And starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love visiting with my brother Graham and his wife Helen, but it's a bit like entering a whirlwind. They're always rushing madly, continually leaving something of their belongings behind somewhere. They visited me once in Toronto. On the first day, we gathered for dinner with our cousins who also live here, and Graham couldn't wait to announce to us that a miracle had happened that day. It was a strange word on his lips. My brother is a dyed-in-the-wool practicing atheist. What was the miracle? That morning, he'd rushed off to the bank for some cash, produced his credit cards, but they wanted his passport too. So he literally ran back to the hotel, got his passport, dashed back to the bank, only to discover that he no longer had his credit cards. His wallet was gone. Not good. He got on the phone to cancel his cards. Meanwhile, Helen retraced his steps between the bank and the hotel, thoroughly examining the ground. Nothing. Was it in the hotel room? She spent 20 minutes going through every item of luggage. Nothing. She retraced his steps again. It was now about half an hour since his mad dash back and forth. What are the chances of still finding a wallet half an hour later on a downtown Toronto street? As she's walking, out of the corner of her eye, she catches sight of a man walking in the opposite direction, opening and closing a wallet, looking at the cards in it, a very familiar-looking brown wallet. She plucks up her courage. "Excuse me, did you just pick up that wallet? My husband has just lost his." Sure enough, it's Graham's wallet. If Helen had left the hotel a few seconds earlier or a few seconds later, she would have missed passing the man at the exact moment he was opening and closing the wallet. "It's a miracle," my brother said. My cousin, knowing the irony of this word on my brother's lips, said, "Graham, face it. You've just been kissed by God." Have you ever been kissed by God? A moment of synchronicity, of perfect timing, when you just had to say, "Thank you, God." How many of you have experienced such a moment? Thank you. In today's scripture, there's a synchronicity of events. We get the backstory. We see plainly God's engineering as Philip does what he's told to do. What was the story the Ethiopian eunuch might have told people back home, the story that inspired them to become Christians? I imagine he'd begin rather like my brother did. He'd say, "A miracle happened today," and then he'd tell his story. "So many years I'd been searching, so many ancient writings I've read, so many places I've traveled to, back and forth, trying to uncover some hope, some meaning for my miserable life. And this time, it's Jerusalem. I can't enter the temple, I expected that, but I managed to purchase some ancient writing, a Jewish prophet, Isaiah. I'm on the way home, reading it, and I come to these words, words that leap out at me, that bring to my mind all the cause of my shame, my ruined life. I'm reading, 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can imagine his future? For he has been cut off from the land of the living.' I ask you, how could this prophet have known about me and my shame? Or was he writing about himself? Or someone he knew? I had to know." And at that moment, at that very moment, a head pops up beside my chariot. In the middle of the wilderness, out of nowhere, this Jewish man appears. My heart races. Is he after the queen's treasure? No, he's alone. And he asks, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I understand if no one explains to me? No one for miles around, and this man appears and asks if I understand what I'm reading. Well, I pull the chariot to a halt, invite him to join me. He tells me, 'The one who is spoken of by the prophet is Jesus of Nazareth, that he was humiliated, beaten, crucified, that he died and was buried, cut off from all life.' And hear this, God raised him from the dead to bring hope to all who are cut off from life. Did this Jesus have children?" I ask him. "Does his name continue on this earth?" "No," he says, "but his family is already greater than any family on this earth. Everywhere the story is told, people are baptized in his name. They receive the Holy Spirit. They bear fruit not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. They're part of the family of God. Every day their words and actions add more people to the family of God. I think, if only I could be part of that family." At that very moment, an oasis appears on the horizon. My question tumbles out, "Is there anything to prevent me from being baptized?" I dread the answer, words I've heard so many times before. "You're not whole as a man, you know." But he says, nothing prevents you. Jesus died to make you whole. So I'm baptized with water and the Spirit. I'm no longer cut off. I've been grafted into God's family. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I can bear fruit of the Spirit. And you, my friends, can be part of that family too. That's how I imagine the Ethiopian church began. Do you have a story of being kissed by God? When someone came alongside of you at just the right time, with words or actions that brought you to faith or built your faith? Something that seemed to be engineered by God? In today's scripture, the eunuch's coming to faith was engineered by God, but embodied by Philip. Evangelism is a partnership. We're partnered with God. God's Spirit sweeps the earth, searches for the lost, the broken, the helpless, the needy, the downtrodden, and God says to us, come, I need a little embodiment here. I need someone to act in love, in justice. I need someone to speak words of faith, words of hope. God engineers the timing. We bring the words and kind actions. But let's be clear. Our job is to speak and to act. We may never see what God does with our words and our actions. Sometimes people ask me how a nice Jewish girl got to be a Christian minister. I have many stories, and I'd like to tell you one of them today, if I may. So, I'm living in London, England. As far as I know, I'm an atheist. It's 2 a.m. There's a knock on our front door, and there stands a little man with a priest's collar. This is a true story. He says, God told me to knock on this door. Really kooky. My husband, being Canadian, is polite, asks him to come back at a reasonable hour, which he does. John is his name. Does his best to share the gospel with us, but we are tough nuts. He doesn't get very far. Turns out, he's just the summer student. A month later, the regular priest, Martin, drops by at a decent hour. A new name is on his visiting list. He's come to meet the new family in his parish, us. We loved Martin, nothing kooky about him. We became good friends, though we never attended his church. On one occasion, he shared with us about a healing prayer conference he'd been to. We talked about prayer, but never did it. Fast forward a year later. I'm in a desperate situation. My husband remembers Martin's words and boldly prays for me. And something shifts. The prayer is answered. For me, it's, oh my gosh, there's someone out there, and I'm on a new journey. Would something have shifted anyway, with or without prayer? Maybe. But the timing is very persuasive. The synchronicity that gave me the sense of being kissed by God. Neither Martin nor John ever knew the impact of their words and actions in my life. And I sometimes wonder, what if? What if John had not listened to God's nudging? What if he'd not knocked on our door at that unearthly hour? What if he'd not risked looking foolish, which he certainly did? What if Martin had not shared with us about the power of prayer? What if he'd not risked looking foolish in our eyes? I might not have come to believe in the living God. My takeaway is this. God wants to come alongside hurting people, but God needs some embodiment. God needs us to speak the faith we know, whether we see results or not. Our United Church General Council met this last week. The theme was Risking Faith, Daring Hope. Our church more than ever needs to risk faith, to risk sharing the faith we know, not necessarily with people out there, but with one another, so that our church can come alive again. We need to build one another up in faith. When our faith is ablaze, others will come to the warmth and the light. We need to hear one another's words of faith, however simple. Whatever story we carry in us, we need to share it. And our questions. It's a risk to appear foolish, to speak words about unseen things. It's a risk to pray words aloud for another. What if nothing happens? Again, we don't have to see it for it to be happening. We never know when the Spirit may set our words on fire in another person's heart, or when something in the universe may shift, unblock, open a new way for the person we pray for. What is certain is that our words are needed. Our questions must be asked. Our stories must be shared. Our prayers must be prayed if the church is to come alive again, if the church is to grow again. Our words are needed just as they were in the first century. What the Holy Spirit can do with our words, offered in love, is more than we can hope or imagine. To God be all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.